Wolfenden found that he could grow L-back with dimethylphosphate as the only source of phosphorus. And that carried the strong implication that there was an enzyme there that would do this. A girl got some aerobacter, grew them up, broke them open, isolated the enzyme, crystallized it, and found that it would hydrolyze phosphates rapidly enough, and then in collaboration with Julian Sturdivant, who has marvelous calorimetric equipment, Yale, measured the heat of hydrolysis of cyclic and acyclic phosphates compared. Well, that's another case where one reaches into biochemistry to get an enzyme to do something that you don't know how to do any other way. And one just, it seems to me, mixes chemistry and enzymology with no apologies on either side. I think this sort of thing is going to grow as more and more chemists learn something about enzymology. One of the reasons I think this department is such a great department is that we have had Conrad Bloch in it, who's been giving a splendid course in biochemistry and a modest number, at least, of the graduate students and postdoctoral fellows at least audit that course, and so are aware of problems and methods with which people were not acquainted in the conventional chemistry department.
Question sort of out of context, but you did consult a little bit one time or another. I have down with Hercules and U.S. Rubber. Now, when did that start? And when did you start with either one of them?
Well, the consultation with Hercules was an outgrowth of the explosives were. And I was consulting with respect to rocket propellants of the kind, well, solid rocket propellants. And I don't know really the extent to which such solid rocket propellants were ever used for anything, but they may have been used for some of the satellites.
Did that last very long? Did you
that lasted a few years. I forget how long.
And any other consultants?
And then I consulted for U.S. Rubber for a while. That was also a few years. And I don't think I was a great consultant. And when I was appointed as a member of President Lyndon Johnson's Science Advisory Committee, I withdrew, because I didn't wish to have any industrial connection while I was on that committee. I thought it'd be nice if U.S. Rubber simply gave me a leave of absence, but they were having none of that. And in fact, I didn't get along very well with them anyway. The director of research at U.S. Rubber believed firmly in planned obsolescence. And I did not. We used to have some very vigorous conversations on the subject.
None of the consulting work ever carried over into your academic research?
No, it never did.
It was important.
No, it was going quite different.
No discussion with you would be complete without at least talking a little bit about the so-called Westheimer Report. Chemistry, Opportunities and Needs.
Yes,
published in 1965.
Yes.
That was sponsored by the National Academy of Sciences and I guess funded with government funds?
It was funded very largely with funds put up by the American chemists.
Oh.
With a supplement from the National Science Foundation. Mm-hmm. I was quite eager that we should have no government funds in it, but I wasn't successful in managing it. Mm-hmm. It seemed to me that if you were addressing a report, largely the government funding agencies, that you were much cleaner if you didn't have any government money. Some people felt that the government money was laundered in that it was not given directly to us, but given to the Committee on Science and Public Policy of the Academy, who in turn gave it to us. I don't think that laundering did much good. And I believe that we, in fact, used government funds, and I wish we had been able not to.
You couldn't justify it in terms of the fact that the report was really being, it was for the good of the government as well. That is,
yes, indeed. But what you had to say about those, that set of reports from the National Academy of Sciences, is that they were, in effect, lawyers' briefs.
Yes.
Of the various sciences.
Yes.
Now, one hoped they were honest briefs. Mm-hmm. But there is no doubt that they were briefs.
Yes.
And that's different than an evaluative report. Mm-hmm. And, I would have been happy if you hadn't had any. A group got together and decided to do this. I think I was invited to that meeting, I'm not sure. But whether I was invited or not, I did not attend. I think Frank Long was primarily responsible for suggesting me as chairman. Perhaps one got to be chairman by not being at the meeting. I put a tremendous effort into that, including the fact that I had a sabbatical that I devoted pretty much full time to that job. The committee was, with the exception of one member, extremely enthusiastic and extremely hardworking. Or I could even say, the committee was extremely enthusiastic and, with the exception of one member, extremely hardworking. One member goofed off completely. But everybody else actually worked, and worked hard. Harrison Schill especially, with doing all our computer work. And we, I think, did a number of quite innovative things there, of which the business of looking into the literature of chemistry, find out what instruments were used, looking into the literature to see the background from inventions to show that fundamental research had been extremely important in the practical applications of chemistry, both in chemical products and in drugs. I think we did quite a number of innovative things and had enormous support from the committee in doing a great deal of work. There were 120 people who worked on the various committees, and they turned in reports, big reports, that led to various sections of that report, which then were boiled down by me or by Martin, Paul, and me and rewritten. Martin, Paul, and I, it turned out, wrote quite similar English. So I don't think one can tell which parts of that report were massaged by Martin and which by me. Quantitatively, I guess I did about 2/3 and about 1/3. We both worked very hard. And I think we did a good job. Looking back, I wish we hadn't been quite as optimistic. On the other hand, the report is less optimistic than it would have been, I think, under a chairman other than myself. I think that my native pessimism helped to produce a report which was merely optimistic instead of wildly optimistic to our benefit.
What about the politics of it? You've already implied that it was a lawyer's brief, that you were going, in a sense, hat in hand to ask for money, and
yes.
You knew you were going to do that.
Yes.
Were there any strong disagreements on the committee as to the best way of doing it, or whether you could have made your case stronger?
The committee was a very strong committee and contributed, as I said, enormous amount to this. The committee's decision was that the first thing we ought to do was to point out to the scientific community and the government that chemistry had become an instrumented science. That it was no longer what I had said before was true when I went to graduate school, namely Emil Fischer's laboratory plus pirates. But it had become a heavily instrumented science and needed those instruments. And that was to be a primary message, if not the primary message. And that was a committee decision. So we wrote that chapter first, and it went to the National Science Foundation as a chapter before the report was written, and was, I think, directly responsible for the introduction of a line item in the NSF budget for instruments for chemistry. I wrote the introductory chapter and submitted it to the committee. The committee didn't even tell me to revise it. They threw it out absolutely and rejected it. And I was quite upset. And nevertheless, with Frank Long patting me on the shoulder and saying, there, went back and rewrote it absolutely from the start in an entirely different fashion, and produced something that the committee said had some chance of being massaged into the initial chapter. That initial chapter was rewritten 7 times, which says something about the impact of that, the committee.
Mm-hmm.
It also, I think, says that the chairman was willing to work very hard. Most of the report was thoroughly rewritten, but not rewritten that often. The disagreements with the committee were not severe. Not everybody agreed about everything. Mostly, there were several members of the committee who wanted to make a harder sell for chemistry. And I think I was writing for the consensus of the group. As I did it. But if there was a deviation, it was in the direction of some people wishing a harder sell than we gave them.
Mm-hmm.
It was a working committee, and we worked, and we met fairly frequently, did a tremendous amount of work in between, and
The product demonstrated that. I mean, it was really obvious. I was talking about this retrospective that I've seen recently on it, someone said, the author suggested that, in fact, the process may have been almost as important as the product. The process that was developed, yours may have been the first report.
No, it was not the first report, but it was one on which at least one, at least the biology report, and perhaps several of the later ones were modeled. Mm-hmm. The astronomy report was the first report. And the physics report, although it came out slightly after ours, was in process at the same time, and so was produced independently. There was also one on I think, geological sciences that was predated ours. What we did, and I want to say one little bit about that, that I think was good, was we tried to base all our arguments not on what does the science of chemistry need, but what can the science of chemistry do for America? And what does America need? One great mistake that I made with respect to that report was at the news conference, when I did not have the courage to come out and say that. That involved criticizing the other reports, and I was under pressure not to criticize the other reports and succumb to that pressure. I believe that was a mistake. I believe one could have managed that by saying that in the development of these reports, in the academy, there had been an evolution of thought so that one now was looking at this from a somewhat broader perspective than just that of the science as a whole. But really, the thing that marked our report and made it different, and I think made it a model, was that we looked to the contributions chemistry was making to America, whereas the astronomers were looking at what contributions America could make to astronomy. And the titles to our chapters were taken over by Handler when he did the biology report, almost one by one with paraphrasing. And it made it clear that, you know, that was right. The thing I didn't do, and it would have given chemistry a lot of good publicity, at the expense of having my head chopped off by Handler, which is, oh no, it was Fred Seitz at the time, which was president, was quite out what it was about our report that was superior.
I've essentially come to the end of what I wanted to talk about. It's been very, very helpful. I think it will be, and it will be helpful to a good many other people as well. The last question which I ask everyone is, can you suggest anyone else I might talk to?
Well, probably. I'll have to think a minute. It's a shame that Ingold is dead, and Winstein is dead, and Wieland is dead, and I don't think it's worthwhile talking to Pauling anymore.
There are people who have hours and hours of interviews with Pauling already.
You're going to talk to Wally, you said. Are you going to talk to Mayo? I don't know. I mean, I think it's important to talk to someone who comes out of Karash's laboratory.
Yes.
Maybe,
yes.
But doing Wally is sufficient. You brought up the interesting question of Quitmore. I think that is a... He made a very important contribution to carbonium ion chemistry. It's grossly underappreciated. I don't know whom one would talk to from that laboratory or from that tradition who would give you any picture of Whitmore. I remember very well when he lectured at the University of Chicago, and I was bitterly disappointed. He didn't understand his own contribution anywhere near as well as lots of other people did, because he hadn't kept up. And he didn't really realize how much had grown out of his ideas. If you want to talk to someone only impact of quantum mechanical thinking, that is, both the resonance theory and molecular orbital, somebody should talk about that. It has to be someone who knows the field very well, and it has it in fairly good perspective. Perhaps Roald Hoffman. I'm not sure. I would like to suggest as strongly as possible that you not talk to Michael Dewar, who I think is not while your machine is running. But I don't think he would be a good person to talk to. I think Hoffman might be. I assume you're talking to Roberts.
I will be. I hope so. I'll contact him.
Very considerable interest. Not, I think, as much interest as he does, but I'm especially interested in the work where he used dimethyl sulfoxide as solvent and got enormous solvent effects, which I think are important to physical organic chemistry. Who else in the quantum mechanical area? Mulliken is still available to talk to, but if you can understand anything he says, you're doing better than I. I find him extraordinarily difficult. Weinberg and Streitwiser, I think, are in a way too recent for this study.
When I start to work on the next 20 years, maybe.
Yes, you start working on the next 20 years, you will necessarily talk to this. I wonder if there are any foreigners. A quantum mechanical person of considerable ability detachment is Heilbrunner. I forget his first name, I shouldn't. Who is now in Surrey. He was born in England, wasn't he?
That's very nice.
But I think he's native English speaking. But he is now in Surrey.
How long ago did Coulson start his work? Coulson?
Oh,
Don? Coulson's still alive.
Longett Higgins? Coulson and Longett Higgins are both very good theorists.
Mm-hmm.
And yes, I think either Coulson or Longett Higgins would probably be splendid. But that is an important area.
Yes.
And certainly, putting aside the present computations, which, as I said, I think are grossly overdone, the impact on thinking of molecular orbital theory and of resonance theory is enormous.
Yes.
And if you can't get it from Pauling, because I don't think he'll talk about anything today except how vitamin C cures cancer, and if you can't talk to Whelan without a Ouija board,
you have to
find somebody.
Right.
You really do have to talk to somebody in that area.
I think that's an area that's totally neglected to now, but I think you're right. Thank you. Thank you so much.